السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمر واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to الذكريات with me. I'm your host, Tasneem, taking you up to the next hour. Inshallah, you will be in my company, and today we are speaking all about da'wah. So before I begin, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمد ونستعين ونستغفر ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. We begin by praising Allah and sending blessings upon His chosen Messenger, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan, welcome to the Adhikrayat show, where we talk about how to reclaim your magic and how to make the right choices to create a life you love. Subhanallah. I'm your host, Tasneem, and today we are talking about da'wah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a beautiful hadith, فَلِيقُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٌ, convey from me even one verse. So today, inshallah, later on in the show, we'll be taking a look at some of the benefits to be achieved from doing da'wah. You know, when the word da'wah is mentioned, we are generally talking about enjoining the good, al-ma'ruf, the Islamic monotheism, and all that Islam orders one to do, and forbidding the evil, al-munkar, polytheism, disbelief, and all that Islam has forbidden to Muslims as well as to non-Muslims. Now, this da'wah can take a variety of forms, including directly through a conversation with someone about Islam, or indirectly through distributing a leaflet, a CD, a booklet about Islam, you know, passing on Qur'ans in different languages. Therefore, it's not limited to one format or group of people. This is something we will, inshallah, address, you know, further on in the show about how we can, as productive Muslims, give da'wah. A lot of times we have this misconception that da'wah is only for the ulama. You know, we need to be an alima before we give da'wah. But the fact that you recite La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, this is your license to give da'wah. The minute Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with this gift of iman, this is now your time to give da'wah. That is all that you need. The fact that you read the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, you believe in the oneness of Allah, you believe in Tawheed, you believe that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last and final messenger, you believe in all of Allah's scriptures, His books, the messengers, you believe in the last day, you believe in Jannah, you believe in Jahannam, in the hellfire, in the paradise. This is all we need to give da'wah. Subhanallah. So let us not wait for ulama, let us not wait to become an alim or an alima before we can even start speaking about the oneness of Allah. This task or this mission, and I'm going to call it a mission because it's work, to give da'wah is upon each one of our shoulders, because we know for the fact that there is no messenger after Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this opportunity is the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to invite towards the tawheed, to invite towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The lines are open, the number to call is 011-854-1548. So who wants to be Allah's khalifa on earth? Who wants to be Allah's instrument of giving da'wah? You know, and what are we inviting to? What are you really inviting to? We need to remind. Allah says in the Quran, remind, be a reminder. That's your job. So Allah is not asking you, you know, to give hidayat. Hidayat is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your job is just to remind people. Remind Allah, remind people of what? Remind people of Allah. Remind people of all the things Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did for us. Remind people about that there is only one Allah. And that is our job. That this is, as the ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is our job to spread the message of Tawheed. And we're not asking for any compensation. Like the Anbiya alayhi salam, there's numerous stories in the Quran that speaks about how the Anbiya stood in front of nations and they said, we don't ask for your money, we're not asking for any compensation. Your reward lies only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because when you're doing da'wah, you need to check your intention. Innamal a'malu binniyat. I'm doing it for the pleasure of Allah. So you need to do it. You need to check your intention in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end of any activity that you find yourself in. And most importantly, is just to do your best. And inshallah, Allah will do the rest. Another important thing to remember when we're giving da'wah is to love the people you're giving da'wah to. which is a very, very important point, because many a times when we've reached a certain spiritual point in our lives, sometimes maybe it's human, or I don't know what it is, low self-esteem, but we sometimes look down upon people that are not on the same level as us. Maybe we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has given you the gift of niqab or the gift of hijab, and I really say it's a gift because it's not from you. The fact that you cover yourself, that is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has planted the seed in your heart, and subhanallah, you've grabbed that opportunity to get closeness to Allah, to gain proximity to your Rabb. So the fact that you wear hijab, that is a gift, that is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we wear the hijab, for instance, and I'm just taking a random example, maybe you can call in and give me more examples. The number to call is 011-854-1548. So for example, you wear the hijab. And sometimes when we wear hijab, we look down upon people that don't wear hijab. Or sometimes when we become a little bit more religious, or we start praying our five daily salahs, we become a bit judgmental on the people that don't maybe pray as often as we do. And this is wrong. This is not what deen teaches us to do. And then we want to give them da'wah. We use it in the name of da'wah. We say, no, we need to tell them that they need to pray salah, they need to cover up, they need to wear hijab. And it makes us actually feel better than them. So the strict instruction from the ulama and from the elders and from the wise that and the awliya, the people that love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say that we must love the people that you're giving da'wah to. We learn this from the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He loved even his enemies, subhanallah. Even a Jewish man that had passed away, the procession, the funeral procession was passing him and the Sahabas, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and he started to cry. And the Sahaba ikram, they asked him, Ya Nabi of Allah, that is not one of our Sahaba that have passed away. It's not one of ours, our Muslim brothers. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say that another one has died without taking shahada. Another one will enter the fire of Jahannam. So this fikr and this gham, this sadness and this worry and concern is something that we need to have for the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this very feeling is a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's extremely, very, very critical and important for us to love the people you're giving da'wah to. Very importantly, we need to study the history of the people. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give da'wah on the level of the people. So if he was speaking to a king of a certain land, he would speak on that level. If he was speaking to a child or speaking to an elderly person, he would speak in their context and in their on their level, coming down to their eye level. And these are all the things we learn in psychology in terms of effective communication. It's something that our seerah teaches us 1400 years ago. We see it in the akhlaq of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's very important when we are giving the da'wah to study the history of the people, to know their context, to know what frame of mind they're coming from, to know, you know, whether they worship idols or they worship many gods, what were their basic belief systems, what was their basic belief structure, what kind of socioeconomic backgrounds are they coming from. And all these play a very important factors in terms of who we are as human beings, because like I always say, we're not just physical beings, we're made up of all these different facets, and this is what makes us super amazing and makes us one of the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So study the history of the people. We need to have fikr and gham, concern and worry for the people, and inshallah have concern that every single soul that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created will enter Jannatul Firdaus inshallah, with you and with me and with the Anbiya amongst Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions inshallah. Ameen. Another important thing, we need to devote time to strengthen our iman. If we are in a place of giving da'wah, it's very important that we need to be so self-aware. And I think every week I say this hadith on air, because, you know, it's such a powerful hadith, because it sums up so much of everything that we're always speaking about. Because remember, this show is called Adhikrayat. It's all about reminders, simple reminders for the believers, things that we take for granted. Because as insan, we created out of haste, and we're extremely forgetful. So inshallah, just by me speaking to you, you know, I'm giving myself the da'wah first, and it's a reminder for myself before I can even remind the rest. So inshallah, we must take time, devote special time to strengthen our iman. And the hadith I was referring to is, Man arafa nafsahu arafa rabbahu, that they who know themselves, truly they know their Lord. SubhanAllah. So I think this knowledge of self, this search for self is so important, because along the way, we mothers, we daughters, we play all these different roles in society, which is super amazing. But SubhanAllah, essentially we are the servants of Ya Rabb. That's who we are. We are the servants of the Creator, servants of Allah. So it's very important for us to worship Allah in the best way we possibly can. And that is our main function. Allah says in the Quran that He has not created man and jinn except to worship Him. SubhanAllah, something to that effect. So we need to devote time to strengthen our iman. We need to learn. We need to practice. We need to share. We need to teach. The best way to learn something is to teach it. And there's different ways of teaching it. We can teach it to our children. We can, you know, we can do some research and speak in our ta'lim circles, or we can speak in our halakas, or in our woman-only events. Alhamdulillah, we live in a community where there are so many doors, we can knock on so many different doors, and there's so many opportunities knocking on our doors in terms of how to give da'wah. In terms of your household, we have workers that work for us, gardeners that come into the home, electricians that come into our home, we can give them also da'wah. The ladies that work for us, our helpers, we can give them da'wah. It's so important to do domestic da'wah with your children, to take out the books of Allah, to read the Quran in the home, to read the stories of the Anbiya, to teach your children about the beauty of Islam. And this they can only do by looking at you. Because children learn not only by what we say, but they learn by watching us as parents, and especially us as mothers. SubhanAllah, the mother-child relationship is so critical, and it's one of the most fundamental relationships in terms of our human being existence. So it's so important, the type of mums that we are, in terms of we are not only raising, you know, the next society, but we are raising da'is. We are raising people to speak about the oneness of Allah. And this is our huge responsibility as mothers. So it's very important that, you know, you give your health, your time and your wealth. SubhanAllah, it's easy to give our wealth. We can always send money to different organizations or, you know, donate to different causes. But it's very important for us to even give our time. Because time is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam on in the Quran. And it's something that's very precious, and it's something that we don't have enough of. So when we find ourselves spending time in the path of Allah, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those that go out in search of knowledge, I will make a pathway to Jannah easy for them, inshallah. Something to that effect. Ask Allah to use you as an instrument. Very important. Make dua that, Ya Allah, use me as a means of hidayat. Use me as a means of guidance. When you're stepping outside your home and you've donned your hijab, you've put on your niqab, or, you know, you dress in a way according to the Quranic prescription of what a woman needs to wear, or even what a man needs to wear for that matter. And you look like a Muslim, and making that niyyah that, Ya Allah, let whoever see me, let me be a means of inspiration to them, inshallah. So, you know, the basic premise of da'wah is compassion. It's vital and extremely important for us to have compassion and empathy. I think I can't stress more on empathy. And it goes back to putting yourself in another person's shoes. To feel their point of view, to know what context they're coming from. So do your research. It's very important that when you're speaking to the people that you're giving da'wah to know about their history, their socioeconomic status, their belief structure. All of that is extremely important, because that will help you to have empathy towards them. I remember speaking to a sister that works in the prisons, and she gives da'wah in the prisons, and she said sometimes she's sitting in a room with people that have committed murder, and such crimes that people would be normally judgmental against them, you know, and maybe they used to be Muslim ladies, but unfortunately because of life circumstances they found themselves, you know, in the work of prostitution and so forth. And she has to sit there in the room speaking to them about deen, about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because prison is a place of reformation, and there's da'wah happening in the prisons, you know, as well. So subhanAllah, this is a great ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and it's a great responsibility for us to have. But most importantly, it just made me think that we have to love the people we're giving da'wah to. Because imagine sitting next to somebody and you're speaking to them and they've created, you know, they've committed all these crimes and not having a single ounce of judgment in you. Subhanallah, that is quite a challenge. But inshallah, Allah will never put you in a situation that you cannot handle. So whatever situation you find yourself in, whether it's at home with your domestic worker, whether it's with your children, and alhamdulillah, with today's technology, we have various means in order to give da'wah. We can use all the mediums in terms of WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram. Use those social accounts, inshallah, to give da'wah as well, instead of, you know, using it to promote dunya work, rather use it to promote the akhirah, inshallah. And we will be back after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Dhikrayat show, where we talk about how to reclaim your magic and how to make the right choices to create a life you love. Subhanallah, Dhikrayat is all about reminders for the believers, and I'm your hostess, Neem, and today we're talking about da'wah. So I thought it would be nice to just look at some of the benefits, you know, that we receive by giving da'wah. It's very important that we give da'wah, because before the break we mentioned that we are the ummah that has been given this mission of giving da'wah, because there is no Nabi after Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's very important that, and I thought it would be a good idea to look at some of the many benefits we can derive from taking part in giving da'wah to help boost our participation in this great act, because many of us suffer from low self-esteem, and I'm sorry to say, because we feel we're not good enough, or we're not, you know, we're not knowledgeable enough, or we're not ulama, and we can't give the da'wah. But you know, this responsibility of being a da'i is upon each one of our shoulders, and it's about time that we grab these opportunities, because they're all over. You know, just like I said, in your home alone, you can do so much da'wah by speaking to the people that work for you, or at your business, or wherever you are, in the malls while you're shopping, at a lady handing over your parcels to you, or giving you change from the cashier. Those are all moments for us to give da'wah. Even somebody just stopping you and asking you, why do you cover your face and why does another Muslim sister not cover her face? That is a moment to give da'wah. But self-awareness is so important, because you need to be in such a good space that you can give da'wah in a calm, cool, collective way without getting uptight and upset. Because really speaking, when people attack you for the way you dress or the way you look as a Muslim, they're not essentially attacking you. It's not a personal attack. They're actually attacking the deen of Allah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So I think, you know, that is why self-awareness is so important, and we need to be so content in who we are as human beings and know the intention of why we do all of this. And sometimes it's so difficult to explain to a non-Muslim why we wear hijab, because even a Muslim sister might not understand why she fully wears hijab. So it's very important for us to do the research. But inshallah, let us start by, you know, saying that we need to fulfill an obligation upon us. Da'wah is recognized by the majority of scholars as being almost fard upon every Muslim, and this is the consensus amongst all the ulama and all the scholars of Islam, that this is the work of the Anbiya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, we can interpret that the act of da'wah is something of great importance within Islam, and more importantly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, consequently, by fulfilling our fard duties, by fulfilling our obligatory acts, we can look to achieve the pleasure of Allah and to get close to Him. We can use this as a means of gaining proximity to your Rabb. And as it states in a hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And my slave does not come close to me with anything more beloved to me than what I have made fard upon him. My slave continues to come nearer to me through voluntary deeds until I love him, and when I love him, I become his ears with which he hears, I become his sight with which he sees, I become his hands with which he strikes, I become his legs with which he strides. If he asks me, I shall surely grant his request." And this hadith comes in Bukhari. This beautiful hadith highlights the massive reward of completing the third act that can motivate us to carry out this important duty. You know, in contrast, it's worth considering the consequences of neglecting something that is actually made fard upon us. For example, we understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed 5 daily prayers, and we know the severe consequences we may face for missing just one of those prayers. But we should give great consideration to da'wah before abandoning or even neglecting this, and therefore look to making it part of our daily lives in some way, some shape or some form. So it's very, very important that we fulfill this fard obligation upon us. I think number two, we need to do the job of our beloved Prophet Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The occupation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with all the other prophets, was to be a da'i. And when I say da'i, it means a caller to Islam. For us to be given the opportunity to follow in the footsteps of the greatest man to have ever lived is a huge honor and a favor given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed only the ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And us as followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the responsibility of continuing this work falls on our shoulders, which is something worth remembering. So we should try to keep in mind of whom we are imitating by giving da'wah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a beautiful hadith that we will be raised amongst those whom you love. So imitate the ones whom you love, and imitate, the best person to imitate is Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah, this will inspire you and us to continue with this important duty by following the one who should be more beloved to us than ourselves. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in a hadith, "None of you will have faith till he loves me more than his father, his children, and all of mankind." And this hadith appears in Bukhari. It can be easy to say, you know, I like or I love that person, but providing that affection can only be done through actions which can involve telling others about the qualities of that person and emulating the ways of that person. Because when we love someone, we can't stop talking about them. So inshallah, make this most beloved person to you, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly, because once you're in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what better speech is there than to be speaking about your beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, as they say, actions speak louder than words. I think another important thing to remember and another benefit is be from those who are remembered in the supplication of others. So we all want, you know, whenever you meet somebody, you're always telling them, remember me in your du'as, or now that all the hajis have left on their beautiful pilgrimage, the first thing we normally tell them is, you know, may Allah make it easy for you and accept it from you, and then we normally always mention that, yeah, please, you know, make du'a for me and remember me in your du'as. So through helping someone revert to Islam or return to practicing Islam, inshallah, you will find that person being a happier individual than before. Because subhanAllah, with spirituality comes contentment. The true rest is only found, true rest of your hearts are only found in the remembrance of Allah. And as an expression of gratitude, it is often likely that a person will personally thank you. Hopefully they will also remember you in their du'as for being there to give them that, you know, that valuable advice or offer support and pass on beneficial knowledge to help direct them to the straight path. Also, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always says, you know, in a hadith, he said, Allah, his angels, and all those in the heavens on earth, even the ants in their ant hills and the fish in the water, call down blessings on those who instruct others in beneficial knowledge. All the creatures in the sea all make maghfirat du'a for that person who is going out and seeking beneficial knowledge. And this hadith appears in Tirmidhi. So this actually highlights the great rewards that can be achieved through giving da'wah and passing on useful knowledge to others. So people remember you as the one that told them, I must read Salah, I need to read more Quran, or I need to read Surah Mulk every night, because it is promised that Surah Mulk will be your companion in the Qabr. And when you tell people these things, it's beautiful things, and it prepares them for the Akhirah. And when they do this, they remember you, inshallah. And remember, your reward is just as much as theirs, inshallah. Allah is so merciful that He's made Jannah, a path to Jannah, so easy if we can just be the best da'is. And inshallah, it is said something to the effect that a da'i is one that is just below the anbiya in the akhirah. So inshallah, may we be amongst the da'is and be amongst the anbiya in the akhirah, inshallah. Another important point is to be part of the change you wish to see. This is a famous quote by Mahatma Gandhi, and he said, you be the change you wish to see in the world. It's a bit of a cliche when people talk about the state of the Muslim world and the attacks by the media, etc. But for change to come about, we we would need to change ourselves and look at what we realistically are able to achieve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, verily Allah will not change the good condition of a people as long as they do not change their state of goodness themselves. And this appears in the Quran in chapter 13 in verse 11. So this can involve little changes, for example, giving da'wah to a non-Muslim colleague about Islam, or looking at our own areas of weakness as individuals and looking to rectify those weaknesses with the help and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, we cannot change the world individually, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not expecting us to either. However, we should try to strive and impact positively on our local environment, within our homes especially. Let us start within our homes, our local environment, and society, and whatever skills and abilities we have, and whatever Allah has blessed us with, all His ni'mats Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, we should let that have an impact, a positive impact, within our home, within our local communities, within our societies, and inshallah, globally speaking. A Muslim is one that, you know, that strives for high goals. You know, we're always reaching for the moon, and inshallah, if we miss the moon, we'll still be amongst the stars. So I think it's very important for us as Muslims to have high self-esteem and to have husna dhan. You know, to have good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, good thoughts about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, good thoughts about the next human being, good thoughts about the disbelievers as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the final judge, and who are we to judge? So our job is just to spread the deen, just to give the message of tawheed, to speak about this oneness of Allah that we take for granted. Subhanallah, earlier, 2 weeks ago, we've been doing this dawah series on my show, Adhikrayat, on Radio Islam. And 2 weeks ago, I interviewed a revert sister to Islam, and she spoke about her reversion and how she found the deen. And Sister Khadija spoke about how she would research many foreign, Eastern religions, as well as the Western religions and the Eastern philosophies. And it, you know, what led her to spending 18 years in an ashram, living all across the world in different parts, you know, practicing all these different religions. And then I think she got involved in an art class in art. She loves art, and one day the assignment she chose was on geometric shapes, and alhamdulillah, naturally that led her to Arabic art, and from there she started to research Islam, and subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her hidayat, and she took shahada after finding out about Islam through the beautiful Arabic art. And subhanallah, but I remember when she spoke about her journey to Islam, and when she wanted to become a Muslim, and she went seeking Muslims, she went out looking for Muslims so she could, you know, convert and revert to Islam, and there were no Muslims to be found. And she was being pushed from pillar to post, and everyone she approached, they would say, oh, come back tomorrow, or go and speak to the imam, or, you know, and then she called another person, and he was sitting in the Kruger Park, he was on holiday, so she just couldn't find a Muslim to read the Shahada with. So where are we? What are we doing? We need to go out there, and we need to spread this message of Tawheed, and we need to make ourselves available, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must make each one of us and use each one of us as an instrument to give this message of Tawheed, and, you know, to use us as a means of Hidayat, inshallah. And we will be back after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to the Adhikrayat show, where we talk about how to reclaim your magic and remind ourselves how to make the right choices to create a life you love. I'm your hostess, Neem, and today we're talking about da'wah. Just before the break, we were speaking about how to, you know, make a change, how to make a change within ourselves, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only helps those, you know, who change within themselves, and this is how nations change. So before you can give da'wah to anyone else, we need to give da'wah to ourselves. And I think just by speaking about the greatness of Allah, the love of Allah enters our hearts. So it's a basically win-win situation for everyone, for the person giving da'wah, for the person receiving the da'wah. And this is our main purpose of being created. There is no Nabi after Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this mission of da'wah rests upon each one of our shoulders, and I think it's about time that we grab these opportunities to give the da'wah. a lot of times, I think just before the break, I was speaking about how we lack self-esteem and self-awareness, and we think we're not good enough, or we're not knowledgeable enough, or we're not the ulama, so who are we to give da'wah? The fact that you recite La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, khalas, that is your license to give the da'wah. So, inshallah, by strengthening your faith, by strengthening your relationship with your Rabb, by gaining more in them, inshallah, that will make it easier for you, but that doesn't mean that you need to only start then. You need to start right now, in this moment. It is actually compulsory and fard upon every single man, woman, child to be a da'wah, to be a da'i, and, you know, for us to be raising those da'is. So it is commonly mentioned by those involved in da'wah that the first person to benefit from the knowledge passed on is only yourself. So through continuously passing on the message of Islam and reminding others of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah you indeed strengthen your belief and relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because by speaking about the greatness of Allah and, you know, by speaking about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love of Allah and His beloved Nabi come into our hearts, inshallah. And consequently, this helps to prevent you from becoming neglectful of Him. So many Muslims are excellent when it comes to performing the rituals of Islam, for example, fasting, zakat, salah, which is great, alhamdulillah. However, continuously performing rituals without adding to them can cause you to become stagnant, can cause you to become complacent, and possibly act as a barrier to strengthening your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So take the example of a person who always lifts 10 kilograms with the same amount of repetition each time. Is that person likely to get stronger? The person may not become weak, but he will not become stronger either. So we as Muslims should strive to push ourselves to do better. A higher level of faith is likely to lead us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's all about, you know, everyone is on their own path and everyone is on their own evolutionary journey. And yes, we as Muslims also believe in evolution, but not the evolution of Darwin, the evolution of the soul. We all on this evolutionary journey, our soul is progressing, and inshallah, this dunya is all about us and reaching that point of excellence and reaching that point, you know, just to try your best and living your best existence, inshallah. Because sometimes we try too much to be perfect. Because we feel we can only give da'wah when our iman is perfect. You're going to wait forever. Because perfection is only for Jannah. And we are missing opportunities. Remember, Allah does not need you and me. Because if we don't grab these opportunities, Sadamatil Ula, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, referred to these critical moments as Sadamatil Ula, then we need to grab those opportunities. Because when the opportunity for da'wah comes knocking on our doors, and if we don't grab that opportunity, and we feel, we don't know enough about Islam, we don't know enough about our deen to speak about our deen, Allah doesn't need you. Allah will give that opportunity to somebody else, and you could have just missed out on somebody taking shahada with you. Subhanallah. So make dua that, Ya Allah, use me as an instrument, use me as a means of hidayat, and, you know, increase your knowledge. Inshallah, slowly, slowly, by making an effort, it'll also force you to find out more, to study more. You know, you will find yourself leading a happier existence. And this is likely to be achieved through knowing you have helped someone else to feel happier, which is a result of them coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the beloved way of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So giving da'wah can include giving advice to a fellow Muslim who is going through a difficult time and reminding them how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near and always there for them to turn to. And this is the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give good counsel. Remember earlier in the show we were speaking about husna dhan. Allah speaks in the Quran about husna dhan, to have good thoughts. To have good thoughts about Allah, good thoughts about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, good thoughts about your existence here in this dunya. And inshallah, you know, come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a qalbi salim, with a good, you know, with a clear heart, with a humble heart. And inshallah, when we approach da'wah with these two sentiments in mind, husna dhan, qalbi salim, our da'wah can be so much more powerful, inshallah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a beautiful hadith, بَلِغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً, convey from me even one verse. So therefore the da'wah given does not require to be a specialist beforehand. You don't need to be a fuqaha, you don't need to be an alima, you don't need to be Shaykhul Hadith before you can give da'wah. The minute you recite La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, that is your license, that is your ticket to give the da'wah. So also if you're blessed enough to be, to be used as a tool by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide someone to Islam, then that should provide you with a warm glow inside, knowing you have helped someone from entering the fire of Jahannam. And this is the fikr, this is the gham that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would feel constantly. This is the reason why he stood at night in Qiyamul Layl up to the point where his ankles were swollen. And Aisha radiallahu anha would ask him, Ya Nabi of Allah, you are guaranteed Jannah, why do you still exhaust yourself in prayer? And he said, shall I not be a grateful slave? And in that ibadah, this is when he cried for you and for me, for our iman, so that we may enter Jannat al-Firdaus with him. So let us not forget this. Think about a non-Muslim neighbor or a colleague you have. You know how you would feel if they accepted Islam on your hands with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pray to Allah that Allah use you as an instrument. Again, it's worth thinking about that person. And if they died in that state of disbelief, what a shame that would be, because another day went by without you giving the message of Tawheed. And this message of Tawheed we take for granted, because being born Muslims, subhanAllah, we are so blessed in the fact that Tawheed is such a simple concept for us to understand, that there is only one God. But when we are speaking to somebody that doesn't believe in Allah, we need to really stress upon this point of Tawheed, because that is the essence of your da'wah. Start with a point of, of Tawheed. Speak about Allah. Make them fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't scare them from deen. And inshallah, if you have this loving relationship with Allah, it will be so much easier for you to speak about Allah in this way. And then you must continue to achieve good deeds. Even after you giving the da'wah, inshallah, find yourself doing good things, and inshallah, it will also give your da'wah more power, inshallah. Another important thing to remember when giving da'wah is to, like we spoke about before in the first segment, is to know that person's level of knowledge and consciousness. To come down to their level, or to go up to their level. Like we said, everyone is on their own journey, everyone is on their own evolutionary journey in terms of their soul, and we need to be extremely sincere. Ikhlas is so, so important when we're speaking to somebody about the greatness of Allah. And another very, very important point is, and I think this is what stops people from giving da'wah, because we need to walk the talk. But, it comes, inshallah, by speaking about the greatness of Allah, it makes us realize things, because your ears are closest to your mouth, and inshallah, the words that you speak enter your heart first. So inshallah, not to be so hard on yourself, but inshallah, with the good intentions, it will come. Also remembering that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the best of akhlaq, the best of character. He had noble conduct, he was soft, he was gentle, he was kind, he was full of love, he had truthfulness, reliable, he was patient, and he was extremely honest. Those are some of the characteristics that we also need to bring into our lives by essentially following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also in giving da'wah, because sometimes da'wah is the unspoken word. In terms of communication, 90% of communication happens through non-verbals, and da'wah can happen before we even open our mouths. So inshallah, we can be the means of da'wah just by people watching us and observing our akhlaq. And so many people, Islam has spread not through the sword. Islam has spread through akhlaq, by the most ahsanul akhlaq, the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most excellent of akhlaq. So inshallah, if we can emulate this and follow in his beloved's footsteps, inshallah, may Allah ta'ala grant us the hidayat and grant us the understanding. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a beautiful hadith, the most complete in faith are those best in their character. Those who are easy to socialize with, those who get along with others and others get along with them. There is no good in the one who cannot get along with others and others cannot get along with him. And this appears in Tirmidhi and Sahih. So it's so important for us to have good social skills and to have good akhlaq, basic respect, you know, have patience, be humble, and most importantly, keep your dawah simple. Don't bombard people with a whole lot of facts. Come down onto their level. Speak on things that are, you know, common in terms of even the religion. So always, you know, ask them, what do you know about Islam? So, for example, if you're speaking to a non-Muslim, ask them, what do you understand about Islam? And then always compliment them and always acknowledge them and say, wow, thank you. That is amazing. You're like, your knowledge is so vast and so great. Using psychology also will help you, you know, be able to communicate with them effectively, because the minute you start paying attention and acknowledging a person, this is when they open up more and they speak more to you. And also when we're giving da'wah, it's very important to stay away from politics, because that is not the essence of deen. Deen is spread with love. Like I said, deen was not spread with a sword. And I can't stress more upon tawheed, 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 speaking about the oneness and the greatness of Allah. And, you know, this hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is so apt and, you know, it's so precise when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, convey from me, even if it was one verse, baligha anni walau aya, just one verse. That is all. We don't need a mountain of knowledge. We just need to have one verse and practice upon it. And that is what will give your da'wah power. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the tawfiq and the understanding and make us all a means of da'wah for all that we see out there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our faith and strengthen our relationship with him. And inshallah, you know, grant us the understanding of deen, because Allah says when he loves you, he gives you the understanding of deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make one and all, every single soul and every single creation, human being to be created, may they all enter Jannat al-Firdaus. And inshallah, let that become our fikr and worry, just like how it was the worry and concern of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From me and my engineer, I'll see you next. I will be with you next week, Tuesday, from 2 to 3, and I will be back actually on Thursday, inshallah. Please do tune in. We will be doing a live panel discussion on feminism, inshallah, between 10 and 11, I think. I'll just need to check those times, but inshallah, we'll be back in studio on Thursday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.